Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, his Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, who invites you to be a part of his kingdom. Amen. So I'm going to start with a question today. This question is, do you remember when air was free and now it's $1.75? Do you know why? Inflation. I saw this. I don't think it really relates to my sermon, but that was just too good not to share with you today. So today we're talking about the kingdom. And in God's kingdom, you know, what exactly is it? It's something that can be sometimes hard to hold on to or hard to understand. And yet it's something that when it sinks into your heart, when it sinks into your identity, that you are a part of God's kingdom, that you are his child, that when God looks at you, he loves you and desires to provide for you, it changes you. At the heart of God's kingdom is Jesus Christ. At the heart of God's kingdom, it's where Jesus is known and loved, and his people take Jesus into this world. And so it's very different than the world that we experience. It's very, sometimes even different, that you may bring your workplace experience into a church. You may bring your school learning into this church. You may bring your experiences just in life into your faith experience. But there's something about the kingdom of God, it's backwards than what we think it would be. And so that's why this series is called Modgnik, all right? It's kingdom backwards, Modgnik. And so today we're talking about the first letter, M, and we're going to make our progression in the next 7 weeks working our way backwards through this word kingdom. And so today we're talking about how more is less. Now, I don't know about you, but when I think of kings, I think of these, you know, big old courtyards and these palaces and kings with their swords surrounded by their knights. But that's not the kingdom that we're talking about. That's not the kingdom that Jesus has in mind in Mark chapter 1, where he says, the time is at hand. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. In Jesus' kingdom, God is at work. Sometimes in ways that you can see and feel in tangible ways. But sometimes it's just the blowing of God's Spirit. It's the softening of a heart. It's the changing of a person from walking in the ways of this world, the ways of that leads to death, to understanding the reality that we're separated from God by our sin, and we can't save ourselves, and that God has sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to rescue us, to redeem us through his life, his death on the cross, and his glorious resurrection, so that all people are invited to be a part of the kingdom of God. And so at the heart of the kingdom of God is who? Jesus. Where Jesus is, the kingdom of God is. Where forgiveness is, the kingdom of God is. Where a sacrificial agape love is, the kingdom of God is. And so as we're talking about this kingdom of God, we're talking about Jesus active in our hearts and our lives. So any of you guys recognize this? It's a coconut, right? It's a coconut. And so I don't know if you know this about coconuts, but it's actually one of the tools that if somebody wants to try to capture a certain type of monkey, they will use a coconut, right? They will cut a small hole in the coconut, and they'll put a banana in the middle of it. And so, you know, certain monkeys, they love the bananas, and so they'll reach into the coconut, grab that banana, and their hand can get in this way, but once they have the banana in their hand, with their fist big, they can't get their hand out. And after these coconuts will be either tied to the ground or tied to a tree. I'm not going to tell you what happens next if somebody wants to capture a monkey. But you know, the monkey is there. And what would we tell the monkey? Just let go, right? Just let go. But monkeys, they've got the banana, right? And they don't want to let go. And so that's how they're captured. They get stuck. They're holding on so tight, and they won't let go. Does that ever happen to us? Are there things in this world, things in our lives, that we want so much that we strive for it, we focus on it, and maybe it's not something that's good for us? Maybe it's something that comes between our relationship with God. Maybe it's something that we love more than God, and we get it, and we hold on so tight. And God says, let go. You're hurting our relationship. Let go. That's becoming an idol in your life. Let go. It's hard sometimes to let go. But in God's kingdom, more is less. It's not about the stuff that we have. In this world, we hear more is more, right? We always want more, bigger, faster, better. But Jesus and his kingdom teaches us it's not about having possessions. It's not about having things of this world. In Jesus' kingdom, it's about having a relationship, knowing him, loving him, following Jesus. In Luke chapter 12, before our gospel lesson, there's a couple of brothers, a brother that comes to Jesus, and he's mad that his brother won't divide his inheritance. And Jesus says to the followers this, watch out, be on guard against all kinds of greed. And when I think about greed, I think of that monkey holding on to that banana, that he's trapped. He can't get free, but all he has to do is let go of it. Greed doesn't let go. For man's life does not consist in what? The abundance of his possessions. Then he goes on to tell the parable of the rich fool who builds all this wealth, and then he dies, and somebody else gets it. And so then Jesus calls his disciples to him. He calls his disciples, those who are closest to him. And I can imagine Jesus kind of leaning into them. And he says, therefore I tell you, don't worry about your life. Don't worry about what you're going to eat or about your body or what you're going to wear. For life is more than food and the body is more than clothes. He said, look at the ravens, all right? I can't tell you the truth what's the difference between a raven and a blackbird and a crow. I don't know, but maybe some of you can. The internet says that's a raven. Okay, so consider the raven. They don't store anything. They don't keep anything. And yet, who provides for them? God does. Do they worry about the next day? Maybe they should, but they don't because, you know, God has made them to trust that God will take care of them. Then Jesus says, think about the lilies of this field. And it's just this beautiful field of flowers. You know, they're more magnificent than anything that the richest man on earth, the most wisest man on earth, Solomon, ever could wear. Think about these things. They don't do anything. They just grow to reflect the glory of God. And he says, if God, you know, takes care of and clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and gone tomorrow, all right, how much more will he take care of you? Oh, you of little faith, right? I don't know how Jesus would have said that to his disciples, but I think with a deep compassion, because he looks at them and he's sad. Because he knows they're missing out. They're missing out of the peace that comes when you don't worry. They're missing out because they're living in the fear of wondering what's coming next instead of trusting God. Instead of focused on the kingdom of God and their Savior right before them, they're worried about who's the greatest. They're worried about what's going to happen when Jesus becomes king. Oh, you of little faith. Would Jesus say that to you today? As you look at your heart and your life, you look at maybe what you're living for, not just on Sunday morning, but throughout the week. Are you living in confidence that the Lord is my shepherd? I shall not want. That my cup overflows. Surely his goodness and mercy shall be with me all the days of my life. Who gets that? Who gets to go to the green pastures and the still waters? The sheep, all right? Jesus says, follow me. I'm going to provide. I've got a plan for you. Follow me. Don't worry. Follow me. And so, have you heard of the Monopoly principle? When you play the game of Monopoly, the goal is to build up your properties as much, whether it's houses or hotels, and then totally win, right? Have a Monopoly, win everything, all right? But when the game of Monopoly is done, what happens to all those properties? What happens to all that money? You put it back in the box, right? You don't get to keep it with you. And the same thing in life, as much as we may accumulate here on earth, do we get to take it with us? No, it's the Monopoly principle. It all goes back into the box. And so don't set your hearts on what you are going to eat or drink. That's what the pagans, that's what people who don't know any better do. All right? Your Father, he knows what you need. Our Father knows you probably better than we know ourselves, right? And so we trust him. Lord, let me trust you in your kingdom. And this is where Jesus gets into this kingdom talk that we should seek what first? His kingdom. Who's at the heart of who's at the heart of God's kingdom? Jesus. All right, there you go. Excellent. Jesus is at the heart of God's kingdom. I know that's the Sunday school answer, but that's the truth, all right? God's son. And that as we pursue him, to follow him, to love others as he has loved us, all these things will be given to you as well. And so don't be afraid. God has given you, people of Talmadge Lutheran Church, his kingdom. Isn't that good? God has given you his kingdom. And so you can go all sell all your possessions and give it to the poor. Woohoo! Would you? Could you do more? Is there something that you're holding on to that maybe this is the time to say, God, you're more important to me than this? It may be a possession. It may be something tangible. It may be a sin that you've wrestled with, that you've struggled with, that you just won't let go of it. It may be a grudge. Somebody has wronged you, and you just hold on to that. And holding on to that grudge is keeping between you and him. Let it go. Let it go. Provide for yourselves a treasure in heaven where the moths can't destroy it, no thief comes near, for where your treasure is, your heart, your faith, your being will be also. We need Jesus, right? We have enough stuff. What do we need more of? Jesus. I want to challenge you. What do you need to let go? What are you holding on to too tight? And what is it you need to let go of? And this is kind of a scary question because sometimes it's that we hold on to, that's what we pursue, And sometimes it's that keeps between us and truly entering the peace and the joy and the love of God's kingdom that he has planned for us. So I want to challenge you. Let it go. Say, Jesus, you have given me my life. You have given me all that I have and all that I am. Jesus, in my mind and my heart, I give it to you. I let it go because I know that more is less. I know in your backward kingdom, you're going to take care of me. Lord, help me trust you. In your kingdom, more is less. Can you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross. He knew that his life would be more when he gave it away. Jesus didn't hold on to the fact that he was God's son, that he was the king and the creator of the universe, but he let that go, and he became a human. He took in our flesh so that he might live a perfect life that we can't, and that he might die our death. That now whoever believes in him has life and an abundant life, not because of the things that we have, not because of the clothes that we wear, but because of our relationship with you, for being part of your kingdom. Help us, God, as we go through this life to know that more is less and less is more, and that at the heart of our life, may we see, I only need Jesus. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Thank you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray.